Hello, one and all. No, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Hello, one and all.
You coward.
No, I fucked
talk over
it.
The remaining intros so that he has to.
Oh God.
No, you're stuck. You're stuck with this. That's your starting point.
Oh God.
No.
Well,
live with what you've done.
Let's see how this one goes. And this one is episode 230 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on August 27th, 2023. On the podcast today, we have me, Lucas the Writer. My partner Maria says hi to you, Ryan and Andrew.
Hello.
Maybe you listeners, but you haven't earned that yet.
There you go.
Andrew, could you... I know you've been on top of this. Could you rank the Georgia Trump camp indictment mugshots from best to worst, please?
The only ones I've seen have been Trump and Giuliani.
Oh.
Oh, you didn't see what's her name? Joker Woman?
No.
The Kanye PR person that somehow got roped into all this? She was like somehow the most cartoonishly evil of everyone.
Is there a somewhere I can find all of these online?
Link in the doc.
There's got to be a tier list already.
Ooh.
Someone's put a tier list together. AI presidents for a tier list.
Some of these do look like they're AI generated, if I had
right?
to. Wow, this website sucks. Jesus.
I don't know if this is bogus or not, but there was...
I thought this was Joe Biden for a second, Mark Meadows.
Oh, he does have that default old white guy thing going on, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, Ray Smith is doing the Kubrick stare.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Oh, that.
I mean, Trump was, you know, obviously
yeah,
doing
Trump's
the Kubrick
doing
stare.
It for sure, too. God, what's her name? I'm not finding her.
Jenna Ellis?
No, Trevian Cootie.
Oh.
Her name Travian is Cootie. Trevian Cootie.
Or Travian. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. I'm probably horribly missed. But she's doing the Kubrick stare and the Joker smile. Like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Former Kanye publicist. She's like, I know I did it. Stop me. I dare you.
Three counts, one violation of the Georgia RICO Act, one of influencing witnesses, one of conspiracy to commit solicitation of false statements.
Yeah, no, she was reaching out to witnesses.
Is Stephen Lee a pastor?
Yeah.
Lutheran pastor from Illinois.
What are you doing down there, bud?
You know what they're doing.
Well, no, but why is this Illinois guy doing shit in Georgia?
Travion Cootie is probably around that area too, considering Kanye. I don't know. People came from all around the world to try to flip Georgia.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't have won the election at the end of the day. Like, even if all that bullshit would have somehow succeeded.
Yeah, but they were trying to flip
enough.
They were trying to flip multiple. It's just that they probably thought Georgia would be the place with, I don't know, the most just bad, like heinous corruption that they could get away with, and people weren't having it.
Right.
He thought that he had loyalists there.
Right.
So every one of these people obviously deserves to be charged at the very least. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention though that Harrison Floyd, the former leader of Black Voices for Trump, is the only member of this party to have been denied bond, and he remains in jail.
Seems bad.
Yeah.
There was one rapper, I don't remember, whose family was going around and being like, he got charged with RICO in Georgia and he didn't get bond. Like, what the fuck's happening there? I don't remember who it was. So, I don't know. Young Thug. It's Young Thug.
I think I had heard that, yeah.
Yeah, was denied bond like a month ago. So, that's good.
It's just a completely different set of standards.
Yep.
I like how their whole thing was like, because obviously Trump and the others were getting wildly preferential treatment in the justice system in these other cases that he's facing. And Georgia's whole thing was like, nah, we're going to treat him like any other criminal. And like, you know, literally just let him go. Except for the one black guy.
So it looks like Republican outlets have, okay, they got the official one. They got the official mugshot on a t-shirt already.
Yeah, dude. They had those things like preloaded and were just waiting for the JPEG to drop.
I think there are a couple of, oh, there are so many fake ones in circulation already. Actually, you know what? This is a fun game too. Ryan, how much do you think a t-shirt from winred.com with Donald Trump's mugshot on it and the all caps phrase "never surrender" beneath, what do you think people are paying for that?
$50 probably, something. Ooh. Stupid.
I'm 34. Gonna go with 35. Oh,
ah, wow. Yeah.
Is
that
$34.99, or is it just 34 straight up?
34 straight up. I don't know what that is with shipping, but as advertised, $34.
It's like $25 shipping and handling, probably. Just getting gouged.
15 to have that on a set of two beer koozies. That seems like too much.
It is funny that it says never surrender, and that picture is him surrendering to law enforcement. And that's literally what that picture represents.
Hold on. A Make America Great Again hat with the numbers 45-47 on it.
Yeah, because they're saying he'll be the 45th and 47th president.
So we're...
We already did that with Grover Cleveland. There's a precedent.
But also, if they believe he did not lose that election and is still president, isn't his term limit up?
Well, they think that he... I mean, yeah, there are some people that, you know, are like very much on the spectrum and said that he is still secretly the president and Joe Biden is just pretending to be president. Most of his supporters just think that he won and that it was stolen away from him. They know that he's not the president currently. They just believe that he should have been, if not for, you know, fraud.
Yeah. I feel like that QAnon stuff had to start dying because you can't criticize Joe Biden if he's not actually the president. So that's when that whole weird conspiracy theory had to die out. And, you know, like Jordan Klepper and some of the other usuals who like going to those Trump events and kind of catching people in their own weird mental gymnastics were pointing that out. And they're just like... Oh, so what's so bad about Joe Biden? Well, he's doing all this stuff and the economy's in the toilet and look at gas prices. And he's just like, but you just said that Trump was actually the president. So do we need to blame Trump? Like, does Trump need to get kicked out of office? And they're like, well, no, it's more complicated than that.
I think we can talk about this without it being a spoiler. Andrew, have you seen Oppenheimer yet?
No.
okay, no worries. There's... To hear that movie reference Q as Q clearance as what it actually is, as having access to like government protected nuclear information, was, I don't know, that was a little bit of whiplash. That was like, oh wow, we're so through the looking glass on like Q and the origins of that terminology that had forgotten about that. Good reminder.
Yeah, it is real. It sounds made up as shit.
Right.
It sounds like someone literally just picked a random letter and assigned, like, this is the highest level
I have
clearance.
Darkwing clearance. Yeah.
This is Sigma clearance. You don't understand. Like, you could just say whatever and it would sound legit. But no, that's actually a designation.
Yeah.
It's real. It doesn't quite apply to what they think it does, like the original QAnon guy, who was probably different than the current QAnon guy. Yeah, but like you said, it's kind of related to nuclear secrets. It's not necessarily like the end all be all, I have the highest level clearance that people think it is. So, yeah.
Yeah. We got a lot of items. on this. We're gonna keep it pretty free form. Ryan, I just read this article on Women's Marathon Times.
Dude, I'm coming in hot.
Like, what the fuck?
Right? So, on my TikTok, I got recommended, like, you know, a cut down of Eliud Kipchoge breaking the 2-hour barrier, you know, with like, where it wasn't a legit record. We all knew it going in. Like, he had people breaking the wind in front of him. He used multiple pacers. He had a pace car. Like, he was using those special shoes. Like, everyone knew it was more just to show that it's possible to go below 2 hours. And I was like, so what's the real record? And I looked it up and it's like 2 hours, 1 minute and 30 seconds. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it feels like he's going to probably break that at some point. Anyway. And then I see women's and it's just like, oh, it's like 2 hours and 19 minutes. But then that's the world record. Mm-hmm. There's a world's best, which is 2 hours and 15 minutes, which is run by a woman. Like, mm-hmm. And it's literally just because that 2 hour and 15 minute time came from an event that had both men and women competing.
Yeah.
And they consider that not like allowed.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, the what,
you're right,
because the whole idea is like, oh, well, they have faster pace setters because the men are there, they can still fucking run,
they can
that
physically
fast.
Do
they,
it like,
why are you gonna say that they can't have music in because they could have just some fucking motivational anime music pumping them up and just have them sprinting down to the finish line?
Right. No, I was flabbergasted by that. And like, they're like, the reason is because consistently, like, the top performers at mixed events are a couple minutes faster than women's only events. And I'm like, there's so many reasons that could be true.
Yes.
Like, including that, yeah, maybe some of the top runners don't want to run in women's only events and want to run in mixed events anyway. Like, but also, yeah, like, who gives a shit? Like, if they're being paced by faster runners, it's still a person doing the thing. Like, I don't. It's this whole bullshit, like, exercise as a sport. Like, mm-hmm. There's no actual competitive reason that they can't have all these other... There's no reason that they can't have a pace car other than not every event has a pace car. You mm-hmm. know, like, there's no fucking difference. The athlete is still doing the thing, you know? Yeah. Like,
if it was a men's only event, would they say that these times don't count because a really fast guy was running in it that motivated the others to run faster?
What if
he set a faster pace?
Right. What if, like, one of the top women's marathon runners of all time goes to a mixed event that's maybe not as high profile and runs faster than all the men and wins outright? Why wouldn't that count? Like, why would that not count just because it's a mixed? Like, it's just utter bullshit. Like, it literally is meaningless.
This seems disincentivizing for there to be women's only running events. Like, it.
There shouldn't be. It's insanity. Yeah. There's no contact. There's no.
It's running.
No advantage or disadvantage. Like, and it's surprisingly, like, pretty close, you guys. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. Level women's marathon runners are like 15 minutes slower than the top level male marathon runners. Like, to me, that's pretty damn similar.
That's a few percentage points slower. Right. That's not significant.
Exactly. Like, I bet you they could keep pace for a majority of the race if they had to, you know? Like, it's just weird, man.
And as I further think out the absurdity of that, pace runners rotate. They can rotate in
and out.
That's
the whole idea about pace runners.
Like, there's no gendered difference to the caliber of pace runner involved in that.
Because the pace runner could be a woman who just runs, you know, for a couple of miles and runs at a fast pace. There's no reason that the men that are running, there's no reason they couldn't have a female pace runner.
Right.
Absolutely none at all. It's just that they're running faster for that series.
Right.
Like, well, are they going to ban women from cross training with men because those men are running faster and then they have to go faster to keep up, which makes them better?
Like, Lucas, you were in the what percentage of the LA Marathon? You were like, you were top quarter at least, right? Like, you were you were pretty towards the top of the finish line. I'm sure you had a pretty decent amount of women finish ahead of you. Like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah, like a lot. Because,
yeah. Yeah, no, I ran a marathon in 3 hours and 31 minutes. That is good for like a non-professional.
Right. That's like, about as good as it gets for someone who's not like really into marathons, where that's like their whole identity.
I cannot fathom getting anywhere close to 2 hours and 17 minutes. Like that's impossible for
that's
me.
That's bonkers.
It's physically impossible for 99% of the human population, 99.99% of the human population, with the maximum training, with dedicating your entire life to it. Like that's just, those people are already built different and they put in all the work. Like, so I don't know. I was just flabbergasted. I was just like, there's just no earthly reason. They're like, we want to recognize the accomplishments of women who, you know, are like setting their own pace and running. And it's just like, cool. But like, just like the world record shouldn't be that.
Like, are there no male pace runners allowed in the women only events?
Probably. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that's the thing.
That's still weird. They're not even competing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, sure. Yeah, I guess you could recognize that if you really want to, but it feels like the world record's a different thing. The world record is the fastest time, just straight up. But I mean, yeah, the fact that pace cars aren't allowed either, then it's just like, I don't know. Did the person still do it? Like,
yeah.
Then fair enough.
Before people extrapolate this, this article reporting on this from the New York Times, this is from 2011. Like, this is
when the decision was made. Yeah, yes. That they would start splitting them up because they realized that there was a gap between women racing in mixed marathons versus women only marathons.
This is well before like the trans athlete conversations became a lot more commonplace, or gendered sports has always been politicized, but in like the most current iteration. Did y'all see that they're not allowing trans people to compete in the gender that they identify as for that they are in chess?
Yeah, I saw fucking chess. And like I think I brought that up in the podcast too before, where I was just like, so like, why is there in the first place, why is there even gendered chess divisions? Like, yeah, that's
there's a lot, because there are a ton of non-gendered chess competitions, because no fucking reason not to.
There's literally no earthly reason for that to not be a combined thing. Like, and it's where we're getting now with all the award ceremonies, where it's just like, yeah, why do we have gendered acting awards? Like, it doesn't really make much sense. Like, maybe back in the day because of like gender roles and stuff like that, but like, nah, nowadays you could probably just do one performance.
I'm seeing billboards, Bella Ramsey up for best actress, and like, nope, that's that's complicated.
Yep.
I hope they win, but that's complicated.
That's the where we are now. But no, yeah, like I remember reading that article, and that was everyone's response. But I had already seen that chess is weirdly gendered, and they're like, because it'll be intimidating to the women to be in a mostly male space, and it's just like, what? You guys are fucked, man.
The only reason that there's more men that compete in chess is because men that play chess are fucking douchebags that are probably horrible misogynists that purposefully try to keep women out of the sport slash game. Sport. Yeah, that's what I mean, is game. Like,
I refuse to call chess a sport.
It's not a sport. I agree with you there. It's just where I was going.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Like, I was just sitting there and I was just like, this makes no sense. Marathons in particular, like, I don't think that there's even trans discussions around marathons, because like, it's just so, it reminds me of like Super Mario Brothers speedrun, you know, like the main one. It's so fucking optimized that you have to dedicate your entire life for years and years to even be competitive in that category. Whereas like, there's some where like, yeah, there's pretty big gaps. Like, you can take the record up pretty decently. Like, I feel like marathon running is so optimized that it would have to be like Eliud Kipchoge coming out as trans, like, for it to matter, because like, you would have to already be basically a top 10 male marathoner in the world transitioning to be female in order to take that record down any farther. Like, Yeah, but just like weird.
Can we agree that at least like Rubik's Cubes competitions have to still be gendered? Like...
Absolutely. I actually had a friend who was into that culture.
Wow.
I had a guy in high school who held the Wisconsin state record for Rubik's
Cube.
Yeah. It's a real thing. I didn't see any women in any of his videos. I feel like that might have been an exclusively male competition.
I hope this never this especially pointless distinction, pointless debate around this stuff doesn't bleed into video game speedrunning, because hey, if trans people aren't allowed to compete in speedrunning is just over as a concept. Like they are, right. That community is holding it, holding that on their shoulders.
Yeah, there's definitely no men and women's categories for speedrunning, at least. No. But nor like that has as much legitimacy as fucking chess.
And
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
We don't know the effects of estrogen on finger dexterity, and we never will, maybe, because it doesn't.
I mean, that, not to get all like preachy on you guys, but there is like a whole thing in like third world countries, especially in sweatshops, where like only women are given the jobs. Like it's a fucking prestigious thing, you know, they're being paid nothing to do incredibly hard, dangerous labor. But like, there's this belief that because women's fingers are generally smaller, they're the only ones that are able to properly stitch the jeans. And so like they, like plenty of men like are not allowed into those spaces. And so it was like a running joke in the sociology class where anytime like gender and sweatshops are brought up, people just do this. Because a guy in a video at one point like said, like, how come all your underpaid sweatshop workers are women? Is it because you think you can get away with paying them less? He's like, no, it's, you know, they have dainty fingers. They can do that shit. It's like, oh, okay.
Ryan, we had talked previously on this podcast about BS High and that very niche, very exploitative program. It's my understanding there is a full-on documentary out now, possibly some updates. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, this one was actually kind of a breakout, so I'm comfortable talking about it later, but we might as well. There's an HBO documentary called BS High. Definitely recommend it. It's one of those documentaries that interviews the bad guy, which are always entertaining when the person who's kind of at the center of the whole,
like clearly trying thing, to do some positive PR for themselves.
Yeah,
like...
and just fucking falls so unbelievably flat. And like, it opens with him being like, do I look like a con artist? Like, I read classes on body language and I'm trying to like, does this body language look like a con artist? What should I be doing with my hand? Like, and yeah, by the end, he's like cackling maniacally about how he took advantage of these like 18-year-old underprivileged high school kids. Like, it's a fucking trip, that's for sure. But no, I mean, it's interesting because yeah, they do try to like also open up the like, yeah, it's crazy that they tried to be this fake school and everything like that, but like maybe we should also look at some of these other like prep schools that are doing the same thing but with like money, with financial backing. And like IMG Academy, the school that they played against that kind of exposed them to be this fraudulent thing, got bought last year for like $1.35 billion by like a private equity firm. So like, you know, that's basically built on the labor of unpaid kids, you know, right. Like it is like, that is what college football ended up, you know, bringing about NIL stuff and money getting into that amateur space. But like, yeah, now you've got high school kids, like you've got that next level down of people, and they're even more vulnerable than college athletes because they're actually minors and they're also being taken advantage of. And you know, there's a lot of money in it. Like there's a reason that this type of thing happens, is because of all the money in it. So, you know, it's interesting, but at the same time, this dude's like a super villain. Like,
right.
One of the running themes of the documentary is basically like, him going like, well, there's no law, point to the law. I dare you, point at the law. And then like, it cuts to someone who's just like a regulator who's explaining like, there's no law because like, no one thought you needed a law. Like, it's like, there's no law against drilling a nail into your shin, but like, doesn't mean you should do it. Like, it is, it just doesn't make sense. Like, no one would think that you could break that law because it's like, yeah, it's so out there.
It's after fraud. Fraud would be the law broadly.
There was plenty of fraud, but he was talking about like specific edge cases where it's like, what's it called? One of the things that came up is like during the game, the announcers heard that some of the players had played 2 days ago for Bishop Sycamore. Mm-hmm. And so they talk about that in the documentary, how, yeah, he scheduled a game that Friday and then played IMG Academy on Sunday. So like, NFL players are consistently complaining about Sunday to Thursday, like a 4 day gap between games, and how that's not nearly enough to recover. Now you've got children with only 2 days to recover, and they ask him about it, and he's just like, where's the law? He's like, look, if there was a law that said you have to have X amount of days between games, guess what it would have said? Hey, guys, we can't do it. It's against the law. Show me the law. And then like, it cuts to people being like, just because it's not illegal does not mean you should do it. And then there's another famous clip that I saw. It's kind of going viral where it was actually found out that a lot of the players were sharing helmets and like swapping out helmets, and then the clips of people losing their helmets and everything, because it was super sketchy. And they ask him, and they're like, isn't that dangerous? He's like, football's dangerous. Like, what are we doing here? And it's just like, bro. So yeah, he just takes things to some pretty extreme levels while also trying to be like, I'm not the bad guy. Like, I'm not, like, have you ever heard of that show Black-ish? Like, I'm con artist-ish. Like, I'm not a full-blown con artist. Like, and he didn't say Black-ish. He did use the N-word there. It's just like, all right. So yeah, it's interesting.
Jesus.
He's black, but yeah. Christ.
Okay.
No, he's I don't know if you remember the clip of him squirting the Gatorade bottle in his mouth when they go, and here's the head coach of Bishop Sycamore. And yeah, they didn't have plays. Like, apparently they got some of them off of Madden. Like, they didn't watch film. They didn't do any conditioning. Like, that's, I know Angel, like, for a lot of it, you know, it's like when these kids are telling their harrowing stories of how they were abused and taken advantage of and all this stuff. But like, for me, I had like a very visceral response to when the kids talked about the football element of it and just how woefully underprepared they were. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh, they didn't watch any film. Like, holy shit. They didn't have a playbook. Like, oh my heart. Like, holy shit, man. Like, it's like, we played in shitty rural Wisconsin and we watched film 3 days a week. Like, we practice every day. Like, holy shit. They were playing the best high school football teams in the country without watching any film or running. Like, oh my God.
If I remember this correctly, weren't some of these kids also like high school graduates?
Yeah, there were some high school graduates. There were some kids that openly played for JUCO teams. But there are also a lot of kids that, yeah, were high school kids that then essentially dropped out of high school because there was no
actual
education. Yeah, there was genuinely zero education happening. And that's another running theme about like, yeah, we didn't run because like, what 17-year-old kid is going to be like, hey, coach, you didn't make us run. Like, mm-hmm. We didn't do any classwork or homework, because what kid's going to be like, hey, adult, like, why don't we have more schoolwork to do? You know, like, it's just one of those things where like, you can't expect a kid to hold themselves accountable. Like, there's adults in the room that if they're not holding anyone accountable, like, why would any of that come up?
The thing about this that just doesn't make any sense to me, and maybe they talk about it in the documentary, but if they made up this school so that kids would join the football team and they could go play these prestigious teams, presumably with the idea of like, hey, you know, scouts might notice you because they're watching these big teams.
Yep.
Why weren't they at the very least like full blown dedicated to being better at football? Because I could definitely see like an alternate universe where it's like, yeah, man. And like, there was no actual school. All we were doing was watching film. Like, we just fucking trained for football all day long. That's the only thing that mattered. There were no teachers. We just had coaches and we were pretending to go to school. But in reality, we were just trying to be football players so that we could go to college and play ball and shit like that. But there's none of that. The scam doesn't make any sense to me. I guess I don't know what the concept is.
The answer is basically that the main guy, Roy Johnson, is not a fucking football coach and like has zero football knowledge, was just kind of like a chill dude. Like that was his whole vibe as a coach. Like they interviewed the players and they're all just like, he's not a coach, you know, like he didn't teach us any football concepts, you know, like that's the real reason that they weren't putting out any sort of better product, is basically because the guy in charge had actually zero football. Like not, he had as much as like probably you or me, Andrew, like people who pay attention to the sport and know basic like concepts and have been around it for, like, that's about what he had. Like, so it, there was just no way to do that because he didn't actually understand football on any sort of level where he could properly coach it. So they could never get any better. But the idea was like, yeah, maybe like you guys all played football and at a somewhat competitive level. Like most of those kids, yeah, were like just totally lied to and were like, you have what it takes. You just couldn't get film because the coach's kid was starting over you or something, you know, like, but like in reality, yeah, the majority of those kids weren't actually college level athletes in the first place. Okay. And we're just delusional about like, oh, maybe we can, this is my chance. Like I'm actually really good. And like, maybe they were really good athletically, but like they didn't have the football knowledge, or maybe they were like really fundamentally sound, but like not a fucking athlete. Like it takes a lot to be a college, like an actual high level college football player. Like a lot of them probably could have gone on to play like in JUCO and stuff like that if they really wanted to, but that's a tough life, man. Like you got to pay tuition a lot of times. Like, the housing situation's not easy. Like JUCO football is kind of fucking no joke. If you're not that cream of the crop that like, you know, you just couldn't get your grades up, but like other than that, you'd be a D1 football player. Like it's a rough life. So yeah, they were just like, here's your opportunity. You come here, you get some film, and we guarantee you're gonna go D1. And like that's all they need to hear. So yeah, no, it wasn't very well thought out in the fact that, yeah, like his idea was like, we won. Like, we got the game against IMG. We were on ESPN. Like, that was winning. And it's just like, but it wasn't football.
Yeah.
Like, I'd agree with you if you would have lost, like, 35-10, you know, and it was like, it looked like an actual game of football that was lopsided. But that's not what it was. Like, it was the equivalent of a UFC fighter and a regular dude. It was like, IMG did whatever they wanted the whole game. There was multiple devastating injuries. Like they go over that in the documentary, which isn't talked about. Like I didn't really know. I knew like people talked about player safety, but yeah, there were multiple torn ACLs, like multiple concussions. Oh. Like, yeah, there was serious injuries going on because of the skill gap between these teams. Like, yeah, it wasn't football. You were watching just a massacre where IMG's third stringers were doing whatever they wanted. Like that's really what it was. So, and like, you can't blame the IMG kids
right.
for trying their best because they're in the same boat. Like they're trying to get that film. They're trying to impress college coaches. Like they can't fucking hold back. If they get a huge hit, blow someone up and the ball goes flying, like some Georgia linebacker coach might be like, damn, this kid, he's got pop, you know, like, You just need that one clip like Jadeveon Clowney where you can be a household name after that. Like you can't blame them.
I feel like we would know this. This would be more common knowledge, but no one ended up getting picked up by a college because they attended BSI, right?
Not really. There's the quarterback. Me and Angel looked him up afterwards. He plays for East LA Community College right now. Apparently he got an offer from Grambling State, which is like HBCU, like, you know, they're just a college football team. Interestingly enough, Hugh Jackson is the head coach there, Andrew.
Really?
And like they're like, Hugh Jackson's a very respected coach in NFL. And I was like, he is not. He might be considered the worst NFL coach of all time. But yeah, fair enough.
Maybe the least respected NFL coach in existence right now.
So then yeah, he's at Grambling State. He gave an offer, but they rescinded it because of the Bishop Sycamore stuff. So yeah, in reality, it kind of went the other way for the quarterback. And the quarterback looked like he was actually like a legit, like maybe could have had some college if he would have been in a better situation. But yeah, pretty much everyone else was just, it was pretty fucking rough, man. So yeah, it was just like this fucking scheme from a very prolific con artist.
God, the nicheness of it all is what really gets me about how that.
How could you do that to your own people is one of the things that people say. And it's just like, no, that's how it was pulled off. That's how the scheme managed to get as far as it did, was because he was taking advantage of, you know, people who have been really dealt a rough hand in life.
These the very specific desperate people to exploit. Wild. Kind of in that vein of people being exploited by just flagrant fraudsters. The EIC of Jezebel, Laura Bassett, has left her position at the Geo Media owned outlet. On her way out, she expressed her frustrations with CEO and Herb, Jim Spanfeller, who wants to turn the collection of sites into content farms, and hired and promoted his own daughter while refusing to fill critical roles at various outlets. He also introduced a scorecard evaluation system that pits employees against each other based on how much traffic their articles generate. It's not great. Not great environment, period, let alone for one creatively and journalistically driven.
Yeah. What's Herb? What does that mean in this context?
That's just an insult that Geo Media writers have taken to calling Jim Spanfeller.
But why?
What's it mean? Yeah.
It's an herb. Not good.
Like a plant? Like an herb?
Just dull.
Interesting. I just want to know.
Are herbs known as like dull or boring?
Stupid, I guess.
There's a website called Jim Spanfeller is a herb, which I think wouldn't it be is an herb, but anyway. Aren't these journalists? Shouldn't they know? I guess it's not the editors that have the complaints. It's the journalists.
I think they're pronouncing the H, so is a herb.
I think British people it's like do the pronounce name? I think British people pronounce it as herb.
Ah.
Like, so are they like herbal tea?
Or is it the name though? Is it like the name Herb, like
calling
old
him
fashioned
a Karen,
white man but... name, yeah. Herb's rank. No, they're saying herb.
Yeah.
Because they have garlic, cilantro, dill, saffron, like. But is it British? The publications?
No. I don't believe any of them are. Maybe Jalopnik is British. I'm not positive though. I don't believe any of them are British offhand.
Jim Spanfeller is a herb. The rise and fall of a blog post. This is 2019. This dates back.
Yeah. Oh, that's when all this started going down. That's when he took over.
Reportedly, what the fuck? Where does this come from? God damn it. Now I want to know.
That website or the expression?
The expression. Where does the herb come from? What the fuck? I firmly believe personally that Jim Spanfeller is a herb. This is information as you see fit. Why? What?
I don't get it.
Is it lay random? Like, is it just they're picking the most random shit ever? Or like, what does it mean?
According to Urban Dictionary, circa 2012, to be whack, worthy of being mocked, weak, chumpish, and generally to be avoided.
They are saying it's pronounced with a hard H.
Mm.
Herbs are difficult to define, but typified by the individuals seen in this earlier Carmichael post about herbitude. Yeah, I feel like it's like an old man, like male Karen thing, right? Like it's like the name Herb, not like herb, which I guess makes sense. He's like an old white guy. Fair.
Yeah.
He's a herb.
Herb is the word.
Yeah.
Speaking of words, Charles Martinet isn't saying any more in the Mario voice. He's stepping down from that role. What a run.
Papa Mario was his last role.
Yeah. He was proud of those boys.
And it's like definitely good. Like it's definitely not Nintendo being like, maybe you should step down here, Charles.
I mean, I like to imagine that maybe Charles Martinet was getting a little BDE on Nintendo. Maybe, yeah, maybe flexing a little too hard. But they're keeping him on in like, they're Mario calling it a Mario ambassador. Yeah. So, like, I guess he's still around, still collecting a paycheck, presumably. Yeah, it's weird.
In my business, when someone transitions out of a role and it's not an like abject, they are retiring after X amount of years with this company, it means they're fucking forced out. Like, it means that they had no choice and the company said, fuck you, you're out. And then, yeah, they will continue as a consultant, or they will get a production deal with this company that will continue. Like, they have ways of letting them down easy, but no, like, it's like, you're fucking out, man. Like, you're done. So I'm curious, because everyone's celebrating. They're like, thank you. Oh, it's so good. I'm glad. And it's just like, I don't.
Yeah.
When I read that, I thought, not great.
I don't believe Charles Martinet is on social media, but I don't think he's issued a statement yet.
Ooh, that's also not good.
Yeah. So this might be one of those things that is proven out with time, you know, if he's actually doing stuff as the former voice of Mario.
Fair enough. Yeah, like Smithsonian Magazine is reporting it as is retiring. But that's not what the press release said. Press release did not say he was retiring. That language is important. No, he is on Twitter.
Oh.
He did say, he responded to that and said, my new adventure begins. You are all number one in my heart. Hashtag woohoo.
Ooh. That's impersonal.
It's a little bit mixed, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know about this one. This is weird. It's also weird that the Metal Gear Solid remasters are... they have, like, a disclaimer at the end of, hey, some of the stuff in this is considered outdated by modern standards, when, like, I'm a pretty big Metal Gear fan, and I don't know to what they are referring.
Considered outdated. That's pretty... that's also very, like, I'm sorry if I offended anyone. Like,
yeah.
Kind of putting the blame on society more than the actual content.
But also, like, they were saying, like, the original creator's vision hasn't changed, or hasn't been changed, but, like, the original creator isn't there to to speak for themselves. Like, they were kicked out of the company. So that almost seems like a, if you are offended by this, don't blame us. We didn't make it. Another guy did.
The examples they're pointing to is, like, in the first game, how Snake is kind of like a womanizer. And there's a lot of, like, kind of cringy lines with that. Like, Dr. Naomi tells Snake he can, quote, do a strip search on her if he completes his mission. And, like, you know, like what Kingsman was making fun of and parodying, right? Yeah. With, like, women as objects, women as, like, I don't know if it's that.
The only one that, as I consider it more now, there's also a line in there about how J. Edgar Hoover is a well-known racist, which, are we not allowed to say that in 2023?
Yeah, that's not something that got, like, more offensive as time went on, to say that he was a racist. That's just accepted fact.
J. Edgar Hoover's name really has come up since the release of the Metal Gear Solid game. Nowadays, he's a national hero. Back then, he was in the gutter. No one wanted to talk about it.
They didn't say, like, oh man, Richard Nixon's such a good president. I'm so glad that he's here guarding this country.
That was a really good Solid Snake, Andrew. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lucas. I doubt it, but I thank you.
You got the spirit of it, at the very least. The only other thing I can think of is that, we're used to seeing this for, like, old cartoons and stuff that are flagrantly racist. This might be in reference to the graphics of the games, which aren't, the resolution has not been upscaled very much. So maybe that's to what they're referring.
They said it's not appropriate.
Yeah, they say the content. This game contains expressions and themes which may be considered outdated.
No, well, all right.
So, yeah. They also say smoking And what is it? MSX2? You use cigarettes as like a gameplay thing to actually make yourself better.
Yeah.
So it kind of implies that like, cigarettes are great.
I mean, but that's a thing cigarettes. In Red Dead Redemption 2, a game that came out like 3 years ago, is you use the cigarettes to make your Deadeye come back.
Do you smoke them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I never once did it, so I wouldn't
know.
Oh,
yeah. If you smoke cigarettes or cigars, that's what refills your Deadeye meter.
Right, but like when you eat something in Red Dead, you don't actually like... They don't do a very detailed animation. It's just kind of like, and
then, yeah, I mean, yeah, like
does he pull it out, light it up, like take a long
he does.
Drag?
He and... when you do it, he takes a cigarette. He puts a single cigarette in his mouth, lights a match, lights it, takes one long drag, and then flicks it away.
Oh, that's wasteful, Arthur Morgan. Come on, you gotta. There's so much cigarette left in that cigarette.
You're doing it in the middle of a gunfight, in theory.
Yes.
Like the only reason you'd need to instantly refill your Deadeye would be you're literally in the middle of a gunfight.
Yeah, no, there's tons of videos online of Arthur Morgan like popping up from behind a rock, taking out a cigar, lighting it while he's getting riddled with bullets, taking a long drag, flicking it, and then just
killing
five
seven
dudes.
People. Yeah.
I get it. I get this might be a think of the children thing, but like, it's impossible not to know that smoking is super bad for you.
Is there like any like homophobic stuff in there that like they didn't really like think twice about in the 90s? Anything like that?
In Metal Gear Solid 3, like kind of, but it's... And like my comment on like Metal Gear is pretty widely embraced by the gaming with a Y community. So like it, yeah, there's maybe some homophobia in there, but it's done in a kind of campy way. So,
well, if it's camp, then
yeah, perfectly permissible.
It's camp.
Wait, so this is the game series where the woman breathes through her skin, so that's why she has to have her
but that's
boobs
that's
out?
Not yes. That's a later game.
That's not included in this collection. In this remaster. No, okay. It is not.
So I'm just clicking through. I typed in Metal Gear Solid problematic, and just clicking through some things that people are talking about.
Is there any like suicide? I'm thinking of like trigger warning kind of stuff.
I guess Snake is sexually assaulted in the first one. Raiden is naked for a good stretch in the second one. Like I mean, yeah, and this is stuff that's like, if this had a content warning on something, like, yeah, fair, I guess. But this is, especially for a remaster, when most of the people checking this out are presumably doing so knowing the tone and content and just general direction of the series, like, I don't know. This is weird. This is a weird disclaimer.
Yeah, it seems like it's probably the treatment of women, having never played this game. Like, that's, I feel like that has to be what they're talking about.
Oh, man, if treatment of women is considered out of date, there's a lot of new...
Who among us haven't treated a woman?
I'm not saying it's particularly bad. I'm just saying that's got to be what they're referencing. And like, if they made all these other games that are also treating women very poorly in video games, they would probably use the same disclaimer. You and Maria should do a playthrough, but I'm sure she'll have no objections.
I mean, like, I'm debating, but it's one of those things
she'll love that.
Where like, hey, this is pretty important to like who I am as a person. And if you don't like this, I don't know if you like me.
Lucas.
No, she's not going to say anything negative about it. She's going to respect that.
You can, criticism. I welcome the critique. Totally fine. All I'm saying is...
You just said if
like,
you don't respect
that.
It, then she doesn't respect you. If she... Is her not playing the game worse than her playing the game and saying this is dog shit and you're bad for liking it?
Uh, I don't know if I could ever emotionally or financially recover from
financially recover
her saying, I don't like this. This is bad. You are bad for liking this.
Then don't make her play it.
But can she ever truly know me without at least watching me play like the first 2 hours of Metal Gear?
Watching me play.
We are more
got
than
the knife pointing at her. Well, no, watch this. Solid Snake's gonna do something cool.
We are more than the media we consume, Lucas. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Lucas, if you don't, if you never play it in front of her and she never experiences it, you will always have that seed of doubt in your mind.
I think
this is like when people like give advice, like you need to go through your significant other's phone because, you know, there'll always be that doubt if you don't. Like, I know it's a bad thing, but, you know, this is your only way of finding out.
What if you just recorded yourself playing it and then had her watch that? But like she could watch it at like 2 or 3x speed.
Yeah, she could put a Subway Surfer on the side, like a fucking Zoomer. Listen to a podcast while it's going on. Yeah.
But like the vibes, the vibes wouldn't be different at 3x speed.
Yeah, they would be. You're right. Yeah. I think you just have to give her a controller and say go. And then she'll see that and be like, what the fuck? What are you having me play? She'll see the disclaimer of like, some of this stuff didn't age very well. And she's going to be like, what? What is happening? And she's going to expect like a blackface character to pop up and be like, hey, how's it going?
Ooh, wait.
Is there a blackface character?
That's all it took.
I realize now that we don't know the ethnicity of Decoy Octopus, a character who is impersonating a black man.
It doesn't look like a black man.
So we don't know their race, but we do know that they are not a black man.
We don't know.
Was a master of disguise, copying his target's physical appearance, mannerism, and even their own DNA.
Oh, hold on. Nationality Mexican.
I'm going to throw it out there that, like, a random, like, fucking shapeshifter becoming a black man is not blackface. Like,
yeah, that's
this is just not the concept. Ryan,
do we gotta bleep that?
I'm about
do we
to
gotta take this one out of here?
I'm gonna get canceled for that. Like, it's just not the same. Look, if it's established that this shapeshifter is a white man and he does a bunch of fucked up stereotypical shit when he's impersonating a black, sure. But like, if he's just like this creature that becomes a black man and then just is the exact same person as that black man was, like it sounds like he's copying everything about
it
this
says
person.
They copy their DNA.
Yeah,
I don't like, know I if it's blackface if you thing. Become a genetically black person.
Yeah, like it's definitely you're in weird fantasy territory. Would I write that into my narrative? Probably not. Like I'd probably avoid that.
Well, you don't have the
issue.
The gall of Hideo
I really don't.
Kojima.
Yeah, Hideo Kojima is willing to go there. I'm a fucking coward, is what I'm learning.
So,
I think that Hideo Kojima fucking Mr. Magood his way around that controversy. Like, he didn't know that he was doing it in a safe way. Like, he didn't see the fucking massive pitfalls on either side of this single plank of wood that he was walking. But having not played it, I think he did fine.
As a man whose job is anime, let me tell y'all, if you want to see some next level racial insensitivity, Japanese media has you covered. Like they got some stuff in there.
They got your bag.
Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't note that on the Decoy Octopus page for the Metal Gear Solid fandom wiki, they are correctly surfacing GameSpot reviews of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance that originally ran in 2013. Accurate. Good. Yes. No.
Fandom.
Wholeheartedly.
I think you need to shout out the mods. Who's nailing this down? I feel like you've interacted with these people before, given your history with the game. It's not quite your purview.
Yeah, surprisingly, no. I'm not on. That might be. Yeah, that one this might fall on, yeah, this falls outside of my jurisdiction, but I think it's still being picked up by a different team.
It's in a weird, lawless zone where there's no rules.
Shout outs to the only active admin on this community, Blue Rock. Appreciate you. Appreciate you keeping everything going here.
Yeah. What did you have Blue Rock.
You're do updating that Soviet Union government officials page, and that's
fucking
rad.
Awesome. I love political like wiki stuff in universes that don't necessarily like really dive into the politics. Like when they have real life figures on their wiki and like how they pertain to the events of the game or media that they're in, like they're like, oh yeah, fucking Nikita Khrushchev, and then it's like a page about how they're like involved in this weird tangential way to the events of the game. Yeah, that's fucking lit.
Okay, Metal Gear doesn't quite go that far, but I am seeing there's a paragraph about Vladimir Lenin on this wiki.
Does it talk about like the communist, like it always talks about like who they are in real life. Like they're just like known for the Communist Manifesto and the Bolshevik Revolution, and then also in Act 2, Scene 3 of this mobile game based on this.
During
it's mentioned,
during the silent conflict, Vladimir Lenin greenlit the nuclear strike on outer heaven or whatever the fuck.
That's the good shit.
No, yes, in. The Metal Gear Wiki has a paragraph about how Joseph Stalin was likely murdered by Hungarian assassin Skullface.
Is he
in the game, right? I'm guessing it's hinted at somewhere in the game that there's an assassin that killed Joseph Stalin.
Yeah, Skullface, I think, in Metal Gear Solid 5 made some bullshit about how he changed world events, but is he Hungarian? I thought his whole thing was that he's from a place that doesn't exist.
North Transylvania, according to the wiki.
Is North Transylvania real, or is that made up?
Transylvania.
I know Transylvania is real, but is North Transylvania? Yeah, they just say Northern Transylvania. Yeah, isn't that Romania? That's not Hungary, right?
He does have a whole storyline about how he lost like his home country. So, yeah.
I have no idea. I'm looking at a map of territories annexed by the Kingdom of Hungary.
Oh, they're right next to each other. Like Hungary and Romania are right next to each other.
So when he was born, maybe it was Hungary?
Yeah.
Yes.
And now he's a skull face.
Yeah.
I was a boy. Now I'm a skull.
Yeah. I lived in the sovereign kingdom of Hungary. Now I am a fucking black ops assassin for hire with no skin.
Wears a top hat or whatever the fuck.
God, that's a fedora. Of course a Metal Gear villain has a fedora.
Fedora. Okay.
I apologize. I desperately have to pee. Y'all take this conversation in whatever direction you would like to. I'll be back momentarily.
All right. You ready for this shit, Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay. You like sports, Andrew.
I do.
Yeah. You appreciate a sport.
Yeah.
Here and there.
I'm known to partake.
Yeah. Did you see the U.S. Olympic sprinter who railed against the NBA finals for crowning people as world champions and was just like, I like the US, but like, it's such bullshit when I'm watching the NBA finals and their hats and shirts say world champions and blah, blah, blah. Like he like really went out against it. Did you see that?
I did not. It's a conversation that I've heard people bring up multiple times that point, but
so
which I have my opinions about, I'm sure we'll get to.
Well, here we go. So everyone rewatched the NBA finals because that's what we fucking do on the internet. None of the hats said world champions. They just said NBA champions because
fair.
That's also 100% correct. B, my opinion is like soccer has tainted everyone to think that like a lot of these other sports are like soccer, where there isn't a very definitive like best team in the world, like that there's a lot of different teams and like it depends on the competition that you're playing in, and like even the Champions League is only in Europe, so that's pretty Eurocentric. Like, if who knows, someone could assemble a team now that like Saudi Arabia's really coming online and buying all these crazy people for sports watching purposes. Like, maybe there's a Saudi Arabian team that could compete at that level. Like, sure, soccer, yeah, it's probably hard to crown a world champion. Fucking baseball, football, and basketball. There's one game in town, my man. Like, that's it. I'm sorry. There are no teams outside of the United States, and in very, very rare occasions, Canada, that could compete on the same level. And it's perfectly fine to call that team the world champion. Like, I'm sorry.
I agree. Part of the reason I agree is because you're right that the United States just does dominate those sports at ungodly levels.
Right.
Two, both baseball and basketball have teams in
Canada.
A lot
of international.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. They have sure, teams the players, outside of the U.S. Yeah. But then, yeah, the third thing is all of those players are not just being farmed from the United States. I mean, especially baseball, but like, even
basketball,
the fucking,
huge now.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you look at the top 10 basketball players, half of them are not from the United States.
Yeah, the top three players in the world right now in basketball, the finalists for MVP the last 3 years, all been not American.
Ooh,
like,
Joel Embiid, top three. That's a hot take. It's a hot ass take.
Andrew. I'm talking about like MVP
stepping
voting.
In it. You're stepping
MVP
in
voting.
It, my man.
I'm talking about MVP voting.
Joel Embiid was a fucking sham. Jokic and Giannis, sure. No fucking shot. Anyway.
Look, I'm not.
That's
not
beside
arguing,
the point.
I'm not arguing for Joel Embiid's position in the top basketball players. I'm just saying he's been getting the MVP votes 3 years in a row, just like Giannis and Jokic.
Yeah.
Like that's just how it is.
Right.
All three of those players, not American, also from completely different parts of the world. It's not like there's one other spot other than America that these players are coming from. You've got players from Asia, tons of European players, tons of players from Africa, and then you've got a lot of American players. And in baseball, it's the same way. Like, you've got a lot of Japanese and Korean players. Obviously, you've got a ton of players from the fucking Caribbean.
Yeah.
And then you have American players. And I think it's entirely fair to call them world champions when your players are being farmed from the entire fucking planet of Earth.
Which is what they do in soccer. Like, you look at the best teams, and a lot of them, they have players from countries.
Yeah.
Right. They have players from countries that like don't necessarily have competitive pro leagues in that country. Like, Croatia is a country of 5 million people, but like it has two of the best soccer players in the world from it. Like, it has a population of the state of Wisconsin. They couldn't support a pro league that like is at the level that could compete with like fucking England or Spain. Like, it just doesn't make sense. The money's not there, but they do have elite tier players that then go abroad and play for other teams that, I guess you could technically do a world champions thing for, but like everyone's brain is so tainted by soccer and like all this competitiveness of like calling the Italian league a farm league. And then like Ronaldo goes there and like all of a sudden a bunch of people go there and now it's not a farm league anymore. And like now France is the farm league, just like this weird rivalry. And like, so now everyone's very touchy about world champions, but like, it's just not the same dynamic. Like, basketball is probably the closest where like there might be some teams in like Spain that could, put up a fight against the Nuggets. Like, it wouldn't be 100-40. But it would still be an utter blowout. Like, it would be a massacre, like any team trying to compete with the best American team. It wouldn't be fair. And then people cite like, look at the U.S. national team. Sometimes they lose. And it's like, again, the best players in the world come to the NBA that aren't necessarily from America. And those players are like loosely put together because they're all individually great with no thought put into like fit or like how they can like work into a scheme. The Nuggets were a complete basketball team. Like, they were purpose built to win basketball games as a unit. Like, there is no team on planet Earth that could beat them in a 7-game series last year Like, I just, 9 times out of 10, they're going to win against the other best NBA teams. 10 times out of 10, they're going to win against fucking anyone from anywhere else in the world. So it's fine. But also, they didn't even do it in the NBA. So, like, what a weird example. And also, you said it's only the United States while talking about the NBA, which very famously had a Canadian team win a few years ago. Like, it's just, it's bullshit, man. I'm against it. I get it. But it's mostly, like, people who think, like, Americans are so deluded. Like, it's only an American competition. And it's like, yeah, because, like, we invented the sport. Like, all three of those are American sports.
We invented the sport, and also the only leagues that matter for that sport are in America.
It's only competitive, like, in the United States. Like, yeah, yeah. There's other leagues. I'm not trying to diminish the Chinese Basketball Association. Yeah. I'm trying to
but the Chinese Basketball Association is where people go when they're trying to prove that they could be on an NBA team.
Yeah. Or they just want to, like, fucking crush and be, like, the biggest thing in China. Like, Jimmer Fredette was a Mormon dude who went to BYU and just, like, lit the tournament on fire. Like, he was doing Steph Curry shit in college and was like, holy shit, this dude's awesome. And then he went to the NBA and was like, eh, like, he was like a meh role player, and it just wasn't really catching on and wasn't having fun. He went to China and is now a living god in China. Like, he is literally one of the most famous basketball players in the world in China, because he's just been their league MVP for like 10 years in a row. Like, and is very entertaining to watch, because, like, yeah, he's doing shit that Steph Curry does, but, like, in person, like, they can actually see it live and stuff like that. So, yeah, but, like, if he were to come to the NBA, he could play. He wouldn't be that good. So, yeah, I don't know. I get it. I know what you mean. Americans are stupid. We're so American-centric. But, like, this is not that. I want to see a team from outside of the United States come in and beat the fucking Nuggets and beat the Kings. Can you imagine a football team from outside of the United States trying to beat the Chiefs last year? Like,
dude,
bro, it's okay to call the Super Bowl winners world champions. Like, I'm sorry. There's just literally no other competitive football leagues. Like, it's just not a thing. I'm sorry. Baseball and basketball, maybe you could say this team could at least be on the same field and it wouldn't be dangerous. Like, not football.
Kind of in this vein, did y'all catch any of the discourse, the conversation around the U.S. women's soccer team and them not being better than every other soccer team by a mile in this year's Women's World Cup?
It was like a complete travesty and embarrassment. Like, the coach fucking stepped down because they didn't make the finals again.
And I mean, we barely made it into the knockouts.
Yeah.
We snuck through on a draw, and everyone was, like, taking selfies and, like, celebrating and shit. And it's like, what standard are you holding yourselves to?
Yeah, like, I mean, and that's the thing, is that the standard is completely different because of the success that they've already had.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the whole country was getting behind them, like, oh my god, we're gonna three-peat. But, like, the U.S. men's soccer team fucking sucks and has for a while. Yeah, but they get
shit on.
Yeah.
The men's soccer team gets shit on a lot. Like,
they get shit on by fans. They don't have people in the news talking about how, like, there needs to be a fucking investigation into why they didn't win.
Because they're bad. Because they're trash. Because we make fun of them. They're a punchline. I'd much rather have an investigation for why my team didn't win than be a literal joke, like, to be a laughing stock where no one takes you seriously, no one watches your games. Like, more people watch the U.S. women's national team than the U.S. men's national team. Like, that's something that's kind of cool. Like, I actually think that's unique and cool about us. Like, I don't, like, some people then extrapolated that to the entire world, and it's like, you're underestimating how big soccer is on the planet Earth. Like, that's definitely not true. But for U.S. like national teams, yeah, it's fucking true, because the women are great, and we celebrate things that are great in the United States. And boy, I mean, it was fucking pathetic, man. I watched it, and yeah, it was an absolute bummer. And I saw the whole, like, go woke, go broke. And it was like, do you remember the last World Cup? Like, do you remember all the shit that went down with the Republicans after all the shit they did and how dominant they were? Like, nah, man, they're distracted from their wokeism. They can't play soccer good. It's like, no, kind of the opposite, actually. They were a lot better when they really leaned into it and had an enemy that they really rallied around. Like,
I was going to say women's professional soccer in the U.S. has been ahead of the curve on wokeism. I think they were embracing queer players like back in 2000 or something. Well, as much as they,
That's just high-level women's athletics. Like, you can't shun queer athletes in the same way that you can shun gay men's athletes. Like, it's
Lucas, would be, you just have to say women's athletes.
Yeah, no, like it is like all, how there should be an asterisk next to every record set before black people were allowed to play. Like, it is a little like, it's kind of not a fair play. Like, you're excluding the best athletes if you were to exclude queer athletes from women competition. That's for sure. Like, I'm sure there's been studies behind why that's a phenomenon. Like, but it is a real thing, like, and you can't do it in the same way that you, in theory, could. Obviously, there's high-level men's athletes that are parts of the queer community, but it would be a lot easier to exclude them than in doing the same for women's. But, yeah, no, I'm just bummed out for our girl from UW-Madison.
Oh, like, yeah.
This was her prime Olympics, more or less, Rose Lavelle, and... yeah. Now next one, she's going to be like slightly over. She'll still be like early 30s, like, but you know, this was kind of like her, like, she's going to dominate Olympic or not World Cup.
World Cup,
kind of didn't turn out, which is a bummer.
It is also a bummer that professional wrestler Bray Wyatt died of a heart attack seemingly related to COVID complications. That's a thing worth shouting out. And also, over the course of learning about this, I discovered Bray Wyatt, not his actual name. His real name is Windham Rotunda, which is a way better wrestler name than Bray Wyatt. But yeah, no.
Welcome to the world of wrestling, man. People go wild with some of those weird... Yeah. They're not even like stage names necessarily, because they do... sometimes completely embody that persona to the point where that is their real self, and
the other person doesn't exist anymore.
Right. It's like how Batman is the real person and Bruce Wayne is the character, you know. Like, Batman is who he is, Bruce Wayne is the costume he puts on and pretends to be. Like, it's that with pro wrestling. Like, no, he is, or I guess was in this game. That's what he was, Bray Wyatt. His costume was it Winston Rotunda? What?
Windham
Rotunda. Did he win the Herman Cain Award, or like, was it like, no, he took all the precautions and it was kind of a tragedy?
I
hadn't really heard of the story. Like, was he on Facebook being like, COVID, I ain't never heard of that.
No, I don't.
Giving you microchips.
And then no, like, I don't think it was like that kind of way about contracting COVID.
God damn. His grandfather, Blackjack Mulligan. Holy shit. That's way cooler than any of these. His dad went wrestled by his real name, Mike Rotunda. That's a bummer.
People forget how much of wrestling is a family business.
Oh, it's fucking... Nepo babies out the wazoo.
Incestuous, but I think it's up in here.
But I think it's also just because it's fucking brutal, and no one in their right mind would do that if they... Wait. Okay. Woo! It said partner JoJo, and I was like, the singer? And no, it's like a wrestler going by JoJo. Okay. I was like, I remember fucking JoJo. I haven't heard that name in a million years. Now she's a widow from a wrestler.
Wrestling, very brutal type of performance, very physically demanding. And in the WWE, at least, you are considered a freelancer and do not get health care through performing, and that is a travesty.
I want to see, though, was the anti-vax. This is activating my Herman Cain Award gene, which has been dormant for a long time. It's been a while since we've had a good old high-profile COVID death. And, like, yeah, probably just a tragic, you know, fucking brutal reminder that COVID is still very real and is kind of never going to go away. But you
Which
never
sucks.
Know. But you never know.
I'm not seeing any anti-vax stuff immediately.
Ray Wyatt vaccine.
You're going to get a lot of articles.
Yeah, I'm going to get some.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some good stuff.
A lot of people asking, a lot of articles writing about whether or not he died of the vaccine.
Right.
Oh, God, that's going to be a storyline.
Yeah. I mean, it always is. I mean,
no, I mean, within the WWE, like they are going to.
Oh, yeah.
Because Vince McMahon is just back and like now even more empowered to be the fucking maniac he is.
So really, like, there's no winning for his estate, because if he took the vaccine, then everyone's going to be like, he died of the vaccine. What a fucking idiot. Like, why would you take the shot? That's his fault. And if he didn't take the vaccine, he's going to be like, what a fucking idiot. He didn't take the vaccine. Then he died of COVID. Like, yeah. Basically, there's no winning. Like, it's
no
matter what, people are going to be going to his loved ones and saying he was stupid. He deserved to die.
Yeah. On this polarized of an issue with people as vocal as they are about this issue, absolutely.
Good.
What are movies on discount days?
Hey, you guys know today was it's not too late, is National Cinema Day, and all AMC theaters and a lot of other theaters across the country are showing movies for $4.
I was not aware.
Yeah. Even on like the big, like even like fucking IMAX shit and everything, $4, like the premium stuff. So, you know, me and Angel were like, all right, let's see, what kind of movies can we watch? And I had heard that the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie was like kind of a breath of fresh air and like a fun little ride. So I was like, oh, let's do that. Let's see. They have a showing, like nice seats and everything like that. $4. Like,
yeah,
sign me up. So we went. Theater's pretty full.
Of course.
Because it's discount days. Do you want to guess the demographic makeup of that movie theater?
Children?
For a noon showing of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Young?
Children, sure. Yeah, let's just call them what they are and say just full-blown toddlers. Like, just full-blown, can't properly understand, like, basic movie theater etiquette. Can't properly understand that's a screen. And that you're watching a screen with characters that have motivation, like just full blown. At one point, there was a little girl in the row in front of us singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star at full volume. The kids behind us, the whole movie, I don't think they watched the screen for longer than 10 seconds straight. Like, we're just constantly talking, kicking my chair. Anytime there was like a kung fu scene, they were like doing kung fu. It was just fucking chaos. Like, I have never had a movie going experience like that in my entire life. Like, when it's cheap and parents just think, all right, fuck it, we'll bring the kids because it's basically free,
right?
Holy shit. Like, I can't even describe that experience.
I mean, like, I know it's for stuff like comic mischief or cartoon violence, but that's still like a PG movie.
Yeah, it's PG.
I don't know if that's great for like a 3-year-old. Okay.
They don't understand, though.
Right.
Like I'm saying, I don't think that their brain recognizes that what's happening on screen is a part of a story. You know, like, I think their brains are already completely rotted away by iPads in the first place, where like, I just don't think that their attention span is long enough to properly piece together like a narrative. I don't think that like retention, like that they're actually able to remember plot details and be like, oh, this is a revelation from this earlier thing that they talk. Like, it's just meaningless to them. Like, they're just being like, oh, they go hi-ya and then they eat pizza.
Like when you leave the TV on for a pet, it's not, well, they're not appreciating like every episode of Arrested Development. This is just sound and color to distract them from being alone.
Yeah. So like,
it's the thing that makes the neurons in their brains fire. Yeah.
Sometimes not. Sometimes like, it just seemed like they were blatantly, abjectly, like, not experiencing anything related to the movie at all. Like I said, we're just like full singing the entirety of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Like from the opening to the end, the mom would try to like sometimes cover up the mouth, but most of the time was just going like shh, shh, while the kid just kept full volume singing. So National Cinema Day, cool, yeah. Fun promotion. See an adult movie. Not necessarily is gonna fix all the problems, but you won't have to deal with a kid just full-throated belting out "How I Wonder What You Are."
Jesus Christ.
While parents do the bare minimum to actually try to keep their kids in line.
Now, here's the thing, Ryan. I don't think you understood your own movie-going experience. That was 4D. Yeah, no, you That's saw it
Teenage
as
Ninja Turtles,
as the creators intended. Yeah,
Seth Rogen wrote that into the script. Like, and then during the Act 3 reveal, we've got this kid's gonna start singing "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star."
You know, once the movie was done, that little girl stood up and said, "Okay, I'll be in my trailer if you need me."
Yeah, that little girl cashed her residual check.
Is that? And like, I didn't know an increasing number of people like ballpark our age were parents now. Is that a thing? They just walk into an environment and be, oh, also parents with young children? Cool. We're all on the same page. Just fuck it.
Let it go.
We're getting out of the heat for an hour and 39 minutes. This is whatever.
It seems like that was the environment when I went camping this weekend. It's just that every single camping spot except for ours was filled with like a family of seven, and all of the children were under the age of 10. And again, there was like 30 groups of those people, and it was just screaming the entire time, like just fucking screaming.
Yeah.
And in the dark at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Just
fucking hollering and
remember,
like,
remember childhood?
Yeah.
People sprinting through the woods, like screaming, trying to scare people. And the parents just, every like 30 minutes, you'd hear one of the parents go, "Hey, cut that out." They didn't give a shit.
I imagine all those parents had more of a healthy buzz going on than you and Jade, unfortunately. But like, yeah, no, that's what you do. It's what you do when you're a child. I don't know, in my own experience, like, oh, we're going to play a slightly older kid organized a game of like hide and seek across my grandparents' entire farm. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do for 2 hours as it gets increasingly pitch black out.
Yep.
And our parents don't have to think about us, or only every couple of minutes as they drink and talk to other adults, which is
Jade
a treat
and
for
I,
them, Andrew.
We had that revelation yesterday where like we sat down and I said like, God, I'm such a fucking curmudgeon. Like I need to, these kids are just doing kid things. Yeah, it's a little annoying to me, but like I can't say it's wrong for them to just like be a kid. We did the same shit. Right. Yeah, kids yell, they run around, it's fine. And then we heard them all, including the adults, sing "Happy Birthday" to the same person for the seventh time that day in the middle of the night. And I said, nope, fuck it. I'm back on my bullshit. I hate all of them. I woke up this morning at 7:30 after not really sleeping because there was a ton of like kids rolling around, and also it was freezing cold. At 7:30 because they sang "Happy Birthday" as a group, which, again, unless there was someone else's birthday, wasn't true anymore because they sang "Happy Birthday" the day before.
Did they sing it at midnight?
No.
Oh, you said midnight.
No.
I have to listen back to the tape. You said it was late at night.
They sang it between 6 and 10 times on Saturday, just throughout the day. And then they sang it again today, Sunday.
But when was the last time they sang it on Saturday? Was it
probably
midnight?
Like 10 o'clock, 10 p.m.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe it was a meme the time the next day. Like, haha, it's not, but...
Yeah.
No, that doesn't sound necessarily within the bounds. We'll say it is outdoors. Like, that's when it's kind of like,
Entirely, I am acknowledging that these kids did not do anything wrong. I am in the wrong for wanting like my peace and quiet out at a fucking public campground. Like that's dumb of me.
Yeah, but poor person. What are you doing not getting a nice secluded private campground? Usually when you're camping in like that type of scenario and it's not just a bunch of screaming kids, do you usually socialize with the other groups at all?
No, not once. Not like fucking just, once.
You've never once been like, oh, it smells good. And they're like, oh, you want a hot dog? And nope. You're like, sure. And then you just kind of offer a beer in return and you just kind of hang out.
This is the first time that we've been out and there was like large scale socializing between the people in their different camp spots. This is not a camper campground. This is not like your camper is next to someone else's and you see each other. There is forest in between. You can't see the people in the next spot over.
How close is this campground to any kind of civilization? Like, where's the nearest township? Or how far away?
Well, we were like 15 minutes away from Waupaca. We ended up actually getting like coffee and breakfast in Waupaca this morning because we ran out of like firewood last night and the place that we got it was closed. And we're like, well, we gotta go into town to get more firewood. We might as well just get breakfast. It's not a big deal.
Huh. Okay, so this is just straight up like people trying to capitalize on like, well, we'll go the weekend before Labor Day weekend and have it all to ourselves. And then everyone did that.
We see people at some of these campgrounds that are like clearly there for a long period of time. Like they've got decorations out and signs that say like, welcome to the Hartmans.
Oh, they're straight up living there.
And like, we think that there's probably some people that do like long-term camp stays at these state park campgrounds, which are different than like a regular private campground.
Right.
Where you do reserve a spot for the summer.
My second thought is that I don't know if I'll ever be a parent. I don't think I'm going to be the kind of parent who's like, yeah, you know what? My kid and a bunch of their friends, we're going out in the woods for a weekend. Like that is, I will probably love my child. I'm willing to throw them like a birthday, a whole day at a park, but not, I'm not signing up for a weekend of that shit. I don't think I got that in me.
And Ryan, to your point about like the socialization, I would very much like to be the kind of person that could do that. I just don't got that dog in me. Wow. I don't like talking to strangers. I'm a very inward person unless I get to know somebody. Like I don't really hang out with people from work. I don't.
I'm like that like, in professional context for sure. Yeah. But like that feels like the perfect, like, I'd take that opportunity where it's just like super chill. Everyone's already in like a shared interest. Just like, all right, let's see what we got here.
I mean, like I've done that at sporting events for sure. You know, like there's tailgating that's different for me. So maybe I do got that dog in me and it just, I wasn't in the mood for it this weekend.
Yeah.
No one ever like said anything to me though. Like nobody came up to me. These people were all, I assume, in some sort of social group where they knew each other.
Right.
Maybe I'm just too intimidating.
I think it's just because they're filthy Waupaca people. And I only say that because I'm not salty at all that the 2008 Wisconsin Division III state championship football game ended with a 21-20 victory with Waupaca beating Reedsburg Area High School. I don't, it's not based on that at all. Brian Pottinger electing to go for the 2-point conversion to win the game rather than kick the extra point and send it in overtime. Was it the right call? We'll never know because the filthy Waupaca people just had to stop the 2-point conversion so they could win the Division III state championship. Woo.
I mean, listen, Ryan, I would argue with you, but I just Googled Waupaca, Wisconsin, and one of the pictures that Google has to identify this community, it's just a bunch of ducks on a lake. Like, they're like, hey, Waupaca, get the top ducks.
Welcome to any city in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, everyone's got a fucking lake with ducks on it.
Yeah, I went kayaking in Waupaca.
Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Ooh, look, a beautiful historical downtown. You got some rolling fields. You got a fucking tiger? Does Wapaka have a tiger on their Google results?
We do. I'm guessing that there's about a 30% chance that their mascot is the Tigers.
We have a real fucking living tiger. Not technically in Reedsburg, it's in Rock Springs, but that's like a village. That is a village that is a part of the Reedsburg school district. Like, you know how it is in rural Wisconsin. Like, there's those little fucking villages that they're not self-sufficient. Like, they're relying on the actual city that gives them all of their, like, their kids go to school there. If there's a fire out there, like, the city's fire department has to come out to the country to take, like, that's not their own community. I think that counts for Reedsburg. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, well, I'm not going to say the name of our hometown, Andrew, because people still live there that we know. No, we don't even get the pictures. We've
definitely said that name
before. Yeah, dude, we're from Berlin, Wisconsin. Okay. We've said that before.
You guys don't get the pictures. Ooh, you're definitely a tier below Wapaka and Reedsburg.
Yeah. Man.
We're going to throw it out there. I like this, like, getting weird pictures of, like, what represents the city.
Who chooses that?
I think it's AI. The third result for Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin is a fucking map of Noah's Ark, like a cartoony stylized map of Noah's Ark water park.
Andrew,
welcome to the
on.
Wisconsin Dells. Over here, we've got in our town square the black
scorpion's
anaconda.
Tail. Yeah.
Andrew, bringing things back up, Rippin doesn't get the pictures either. So
good.
Okay.
Fuck Rippin.
You guys are...
They have a college, but fuck Rippin.
You guys are like really in the sticks. God
damn.
Don't
have a master's program. I learned this yesterday that Rippin College does not master's program.
Why would they? Who the fuck is going to stay in Rippin? Who's going to stay in Rippin to get their master's degree?
Local teachers.
My dad got his master's degree at Stevens Point.
Oh, good school for
it's
that.
It's a public school, yeah. I feel like public schools are going to have master's programs usually.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Rippin has 8,000 people anyway. The commonly recognized birthplace of the Republican Party. Yeah. This is kind of a notable community that could probably serve to have that on there. Have you guys ever heard of Rippin Good Cookies?
Yeah.
Those shits are fucking good and they're, you can't get them anymore.
Yeah. No,
you can't get that shit anywhere, dude.
Rippin Good Cookies were fucking awesome.
The mint cream. Rippin' Good Cookies. I want to die the fact that I can never get those ever again. I used to call them smooth cookies, and my Nana would always get them for me. Like, it is an absolute bummer that those cookies are gone forever. So no offense to Berlin, Wisconsin. I know you guys give nothing but glowing reviews. You love that place. There's no downsides to it. Mm-hmm. But I think Rippin' might have you beat a little bit in this town rivalry. And I say that as a fellow little brother. Like, Reedsburg's rivalry is with Baraboo, Wisconsin, which is like Devil's Lake, like the fucking circus world, like actual notable shit goes down in Baraboo.
One of the last times Lucas and I hung out in our hometown, we did just meet up in Rippin. We didn't even go to fucking anywhere in Berlin. We went to hang out in Rippin, get coffee and pizza and beer.
To be fair, Canoose Brewing, pretty tops. I'm a fan.
Yeah, there's an add that to the Rippin beating the shit out of you guys in terms of local rivalry.
Look, it's like when we talked last week about Minnesota versus Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Does Minnesota have us beat? Sure. Fuck them. We don't like them.
Does Baraboo have us beat? Sure. Fuck them. Baraboo's full of Nazis.
Yeah.
Easily could have happened in Reedsburg. The only reason it happened in Baraboo is because it happened, like, the photographer drove his car to Baraboo. Like, easily could have happened in my hometown too, but nope. Baraboo's a shithole full of Nazis. Reedsburg, very progressive, bunch of leftists.
Also, other thing I want to call out, and I don't know if this is a Google thing or an Appleton, Wisconsin thing. They have two pictures that are identical other than the time of day they were taken. One of them is a building at dusk, and the other is the same building, the same courtyard at seemingly midday.
From a slightly different, like, lens length.
Yeah,
I see it. And Appleton's not like a... Like, we're talking about the dirt. We're talking about, like, middle of nowhere rural towns. Appleton's a city.
Yes. Yeah. Like, hold on.
There's a lot of shit in Appleton.
Right. Like, I know, like, community. Ian would be like, that's not a city. But, like, most of the country would consider Appleton a legitimate city. So the fact that, yeah, two of their pictures are just slightly different times of day, like, kind of shitty looking courtyard. That's kind of...
I think it might be the hospital.
Like, oh, God. Is that
what I'm not positive, but...
University hospital? I know... I think Lawrence has a medical program.
Appleton has a college?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lawrence? Is that what it's called?
Well, there is a UW extension in Appleton, I believe. Mm. But then I know that doesn't count. I know it doesn't count. But yeah,
there's a fucking UW extension in Baraboo. We don't count that.
Yeah. But yeah, Lawrence University, it's a private Christian college. Is it in Appleton or is it like Nina?
No, it's in full on Appleton.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. My I think he's my godfather. He teaches there.
Well.
Yeah.
Following the Flint water crisis, a report of Wisconsin Rust Belt cities showed high levels of lead contamination in the water in Appleton.
Oh, no. Kurt, so look out.
Yeah, Appleton's like Flint Jr. Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's fucking everywhere. Ideal. Like, people aren't really willing to talk about it, but it's got to be everywhere. Like, those lead pipes got to be fucking all over the place.
They said it's the Rust Belt cities. It's the manufacturing hubs.
I saw someone recently talk about the whole like Karen phenomenon and like just the people that are like so violently angry towards service workers and will get up in your face like put your phone away, like don't film me, I'll fucking kill you. Like people like are claiming that it's because of lead poisoning in Gen X and shit like that. Like I don't know. I struggle to just accept that humanity is as bad as it is sometimes, and I try to find reasons for it. So
there's too many Gen Xers that aren't that.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You're going to have to show me a little bit better evidence than one random person scratching the side of a pickup truck with a fucking pocket knife because, I don't know, someone said, hey, hurry up with your order after taking six different samples at an ice cream shop. You know?
All right.
Maybe that's just me.
I've been polite. I have allowed this conversation to move forward at a natural and pleasant pace.
Thank you, Lord Lucas.
And as my treat, as my reward, I get to talk about Armored Core 6 for a little bit.
Okay. Gonna check out for a little bit.
Yeah. No, this game was made for people with my brain chemistry. Read that however you will. I'm having a fantastic time with it. The plot, basically, space oil, unobtainium, whatever we want to call it. This game calls it coral. It nearly blew up the universe. But you know, it still might be really good at powering engines. So yeah, I am a freelance, heavily indebted, augmented human, still not sure what that means, who's piloting a goddamn mech independently to help various corporations, and also just like the native people of the planet Rubicon, where they discovered coral, harvest it? I don't know. Not a lot of plot going on right now. Not a lot of coherent plot going on right now as I am in the final chapter, final mission of chapter one. Oh. But I'm loving the vibes.
I thought you were saying I'm in the final chapter, so you can't expect there to be any. But no, final chapter. What is it? Part one?
Chapter one. The final mission of chapter one.
How many chapters are there?
Five, I think.
Okay.
But no, yeah, I just, as someone who for stretches of my life, I made most of my money from freelance work, I can project onto this. I wish my freelance jobs were as cool as pilot a giant robot. They weren't. But yeah, this game gets all the robot shit right. Like there was in the way too difficult tutorial boss fight where you are a three-story tall robot fighting a giant armored helicopter. I died like a dozen times because I was playing the game as though it were a shooter, because most of my ways to do damage were some kind of gun or missile. And it's like, oh, I'm going to stick to cover and like do damage from a distance. And then move in, and you have a sword at the start of the game bolted onto one of your robot's arms, and then I'll like wear them out and get close and do major damage. Nope, not how you're supposed to play the game. You're not some beta space marine. You're not fucking weak ass Master Chief made out of flesh. You're in a robot. You can propel yourself like a rocket at this helicopter. And just like you got, and then when you ram into it, you just slice it with your sword, and that's how you win that fight. That's how I won that fight, and that is fantastic. I'm also a big fan of the customization options in this game and how, yeah, it does not penalize you. In fact, it encourages you repeatedly to get fucking weird with it. I had a mission where I had to take care of just a large group of robots with ranged weaponry, and the game, you know, kind of nudged me towards, hey, so what if you got rid of your legs, put on some tank treads, and then just shot back at them with equally long range cluster ammunition? That I could have done that, but instead I went with the lightest frame possible on my robot, slapped two shotguns onto each arm, and then just danced between them, blowing their robot brains out one by one and moving too fast for their missiles to hit me. It was fantastic. I'm a big fan of this game. I'm enjoying it. Robot it's not Dark brains. Souls. If anyone like, oh, From Software's new game, it's going to be like Elden Ring. It is nothing like Elden Ring. Do not expect that here.
So basically, you're in the part of the Pixar movie where it's like, one day there was a guy, and this is what he did every day, blah, 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 blah. And you're like about to hit the and then moment of the game, and you don't know what that and then moment is quite yet. I think it'd be hilarious if this was just the game, and then there's no themes. It's just like,
go to next this planet, mission.
Go to this planet and beat up a giant battleship. Go to this planet and it's just... And then it just ends, like, or you just die at the end, and it's just like, I guess that's the commentary, is like, gig economy is just corporations taking advantage of you until you are spent, and then it's over.
Right now, that is the theme. Right now, that is the theme of capitalism. The gig economy generally is terrible, grinds people up, and also really inefficient. Because, like, I'll do a mission where it's like, hey, go fuck up these guys. They're trying to get some of the space oil. You got to stop them from getting space oil.
Can't let them get the space oil.
No. And then my next mission is like, hey, so you've been hired by the guys you just fucked up to do a retaliatory thing against the people who paid you to fuck them up. And yeah, that's fun in a dark, absurd kind of way.
Yeah.
The only other observation I have is that I don't know how video game ratings work, but like, if you get, you're not getting rated M without like it being on screen that you are murdering a like human body. Because like every one of these robots I've killed so far, there's been a person in there. Sometimes you hear yourself killing them. I've heard myself killing like these robot pilots. And
how do you know? How do you know that it's the robot pilot dying and you're not just like you said, blowing out the robot brains, but there's still like a live person in the middle there.
Yeah, you could have just disabled the robot part.
It's the sci-fi thing of you can hear them through local comms. Like, they're on the radio. Like,
talking to you while you're fighting.
Yeah. Like, don't kill me, don't kill me. Oh, God, I'm bleeding everywhere.
It hurts like, so much.
And then it just cuts. It's
going dark.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yes.
That seems worse. Routine,
baby.
I was going to say, that sounds worse than like blowing someone's leg off and them dying instantly in Black Ops. Like getting the commentary of what it's like to die inside a giant metal death machine.
Yep.
Not ideal. The claustrophobia.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling any sort of physical pain inside of like a body suit of any kind that's supposed to be protecting you has got to be one of the most unsettling things you can possibly imagine, of just like, oh no, like I can't escape this thing that is like essentially grafted to my skin but I am in pain and there is nothing I can do about that.
They do have a mechanic that's very much that, where it's like, if I didn't make this clear, like, these mechs, they're like 3 stories tall. Like, they are big robots.
Yeah.
But like, no, you're in like a metal shell. So like, if you ram into anything too hard, or like they hit you, or you're hit by a blunt weapon, or you take like, yeah, concussive damage, you're stunned. You straight up have like a concussion for a couple of seconds, and it's weird. And
yeah, is that gameplay? That feels gameplay. That doesn't feel like it's narrative motivated, that your human pilot hit their head on the, that feels like they're just like, I mean, we got to have stun grenades in this game. Ah. We'll just make the robot concuss. I don't know.
I'm curious, though. It's getting me in the headspace of I'm piloting a giant robot here.
Is there going to be a chapter, you think, where you like eject from the, and it's like, ooh, it's Iron Man 3. Like, what are you without the mech? You got to discover yourself.
I have not seen a human face in this game so far. I don't know if they have like people modeled, but we'll see. I will keep updates on that as I play through this. What is rapidly becoming my favorite game of the year. Although Zelda, I'll make it weird at the end of the year.
Just watch for any weird signposting where they're like, look, In the worst event possible, of course you can eject. And someone's like, eject? Are you crazy? That's suicide. The only people who've ever ejected, no one's ever lived, blah, blah, blah. And then you know that, like, the climax of the game is going to be you fucking shooting out of your dead robot's chest with, like, a pistol and just taking out the big bad in a super dramatic, stupid way.
Yeah.
You'll know.
I know we're going a little long. Do we have time to talk about Hard Knocks or whatever other thing was in the group chat earlier? Or whatever y'all want to talk about?
Andrew, I didn't watch any Hard Knocks.
Oh, no.
Is Aaron really? Rodgers less hero worship yet? Have they finally done negative portrayals?
They're sucking him off. I'm
sucking him dry.
I am very disappointed that, like, one, you know, that we've gotten no depictions of the New York media having any sort of inkling of treating him the way they've treated every other sports, you know, icon, athlete, whatever, in the last 50 years. And two, Hard Knocks is not pressing him on any of his, like, weird shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, you're so good. You're making that team so much better. Tell us more about that.
You're just a winner, aren't you? Like, you like to win, huh? How do you win, though? What's the secret?
Yeah. And then bring in Randall Cobb to be like, oh my God, he's like a brother to me. He's the godfather of my children. And we're expecting another. And yeah, it's just, I mean, Robert Saleh, I mean, will shit on everybody on the offense except for Aaron Rodgers. He's like, except you, Aaron, you're doing great. Keep it up. He's like, but otherwise, the offense is just mediocre. You got no drive. We have a good defense. People are right about us. We've got a really good defense, and our offense is just mediocre. You got to fix that.
That's very defensive coordinator. Exactly. Who became a head coach. Like, yeah. I do love that vibe of just the infighting between offense and defense is genuinely like a crucial element of what makes a successful football team, while also being like just the pettiest bullshit ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it is iron sharpens iron. And like, if you don't have a lot of competition between your offense and defense, you're not actually reaching your full potential. But it is funny when, like, yeah, someone who's so blatantly biased takes over, yeah, and just has abject favoritism for ones. Like, our coach in high school was a quarterback his whole life. Mm. Like, he was obviously the offensive coordinator and left the defense to do whatever they wanted. So, like, yeah, when it came to head-on-head competitions, like, you know, you would always be like, and, you know, the loser runs. And like, if there was any doubt as to who won, like, if the defense had like a couple of interceptions and forced a fumble and like actually genuinely outplayed, then there was nothing he could do. But if it was like kind of a push and it wasn't obvious who won, the defense ran every time. Like, it was so obvious who who the favorite child was.
But even the defensive coordinator has been like sucking off Aaron Rodgers the entire time. Like, I mean, every time they do like a film review, usually they're showing the defensive coordinator like up on the screen going, hey, look at this throw that Aaron Rodgers made. He's so good. There's not really anything you guys can do about it. So like, just fucking forget about it. But he's so good. He's going to keep us in games. So like, yeah, you guys got to do your part. Like, you owe Aaron Rodgers.
We'll be in any game. So we have to play really good no matter what, because he's always going to make sure we have a chance. And it's just like, whatever. But like, the problem is that genuinely he is, even in his current state, which I guess we don't necessarily know, like last year could be a weird outlier because of his fucked up views towards young players and everything like that.
Yeah.
But like, even in his current state, he's probably still the best offensive player they've ever had on the New York Jets.
Yeah. Right.
Just period. Like, just straight up, almost certainly he is the best offensive player they've ever had in their program's history. And they're not like a new team. Like, they've been around.
Yeah.
So
a 40-year-old post prime Aaron Rodgers is still the best offensive player they've ever had.
Like, Joe Namath, he sure was good. Go watch some fucking Joe Namath highlights and tell me that, like, that's not from a bygone era. Like, we all love Bart Starr around Green Bay.
Bart Starr
could
not play football today.
Bart Starr on his career threw like 50% more interceptions than touchdowns. Like, it's just not the same, man. You can't quite compare.
They're setting themselves up to suck. Like, if not this year, which, like, the Jets probably going to still be middling. Maybe they get into the playoffs this year. Although
they'll be good. I mean,
I think they'll probably make the playoffs, barring major injuries. It would be a bit of a shocker for them to not make the playoffs.
Yeah, which it can happen. You know, the AFC is a competitive conference, and
seven teams in the playoffs. Like, without a major injury, I don't see how it would happen.
I just think that, like, as a Packers fan who in this scenario would be getting another pick from the Jets, want them to be bad. And I keep thinking about like the Broncos last year, where they were in a tougher division, but like, the Jets got the fucking Bills to compete with, and like, the Dolphins are not
saying
like
they're gonna win
team.
The division, but they're gonna make the, like, they're just they're way more talented than the Broncos.
I agree, and that's why I agree with you. Like, I think that they will be good. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think that there's a better than like 50% chance they'll be like really good. I don't think that they'll be elite.
Better than 50%.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. What's the difference between really good and elite? Hold on.
Elite is like the actual Super Bowl contenders. Yeah. Really good is like competing for the division, like genuinely, like no doubt about it, playoff team, but like probably not the actual Super Bowl favorites. Like, any team can get hot whenever, so you never know. But like, you know, every year there's like those two teams per conference that are the obvious cream of the crop, and then there's like three teams that are like pretty obviously playoff squads, and then everyone else.
I have been reading through Defector's Why Your Team Sucks series of blogs, and like, actually, now that you mentioned that, like, there were more teams with a losing record last year than there were teams with a winning one, just by virtue of how that stratification happens. So okay, fair. Elite. Yeah, top two, top four, really good, top seven. Okay.
I did feel like there was a really weird number of teams last year that just like objectively sucked, not just like weren't very good. There were like a lot of really fucking bad teams.
I mean, and then
like a couple of decent teams, and then like obviously the very small level of elite level teams.
It makes sense.
I was just going to say, there are some teams who definitely took some swings, did some weird stuff, or like very unfortunate circumstances. Like, the Dolphins were supposed to be good, and then Tua nearly died on the field. So he couldn't play for most of the last. Yeah.
Dolphins made the playoffs. They were pretty
good. The Dolphins were still a good team, even without Tua.
Fuck me.
Two of the youngest, or not youngest, but like probably the best wide receiver core in the NFL at this point. Like, just by nature of having two top 10 wide receivers.
I got to get cred back. Jeff Saturday was an NFL coach last year. Like, that's that's the swing the swings these teams are taking.
It does make, like, there's a new video that came out from this guy that I sometimes watch about NFL imperialism. Mm-hmm. And he like sets up the map, like he puts every team in their state and everything like that, and then has like a whole system for like having them play each other and take over territory until there's like one team left standing. And so it did lead me to like, yeah, see some of the, because like when you beat a team, you get their best player on your team because you like killed them or whatever, you know. Ooh. So like you do get to see some of the Madden ratings that I, for like the teams that I don't care about. And yeah, there's just some teams that it's like they've got like one dude who's like 89 and then everyone else is like 82 or, but like there's some trash teams in the NFL right now that are like, we're in a rebuild. And it's like, are you though? Like genuinely?
It just seems like you're just okay with being bad.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like what's the strategy though? Like your best player is 32 and then your second best player is 28 and then everyone else is garbage. Like where's the, there's no youth. There's no center of the team that you're building around.
Like, you don't have like a ton of picks where you're like, okay, yeah. Being, you're not tanking. And then, you know, trying to just like get better picks in the future to build on. It's, yeah, it's weird.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm glad that Madden hasn't fallen into the weird Justin Fields hype where he's now just considered a bona fide like top MVP eight quarterback. Candidate.
Yeah.
Well, MVP candidate comes from just like the weird trends of like Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, like guys kind of taking that step, like out of nowhere, like running quarterbacks taking that step to like suddenly have like Lamar Jackson too. Like if they do take that step, they're kind of a runaway for MVP. So that's where that comes from. But just like NFL fans saying that right now Justin Fields is like a top eight quarterback, and it's like literally based on what? Like,
yeah, Justin Fields was the starting quarterback of the worst team in football last year.
Like he's a top three or four running quarterback. Like that's,
but he's not a something. He's not a dual threat quarterback. Yeah, I mean, no, and sure, like it's possible that he will take that step that you're talking about and he'll start throwing the football well, but he is still just a single threat quarterback, and that's with his legs.
He's Mitch Trubisky right now. Like,
yeah,
straight up. Mitch Trubisky was pretty good when he ran. Like he had a lot of mobility and could do a lot with the ball on the ground. Remarkably inconsistent passer that never put it together. Like, I'm sorry that might be where you're at. Like, sure, he shows promise. Like he definitely did a lot with a little last year. Who knows? But like, I do not get the like runaway hype that he is like a locked in elite tier quarterback this year. Like probably fantasy solid contributor, I have to imagine, if he plays all 17 games. But
make a note of that for next weekend.
If you're basing your fantasy draft based on me saying this guy is probably going to be okay in fantasy,
it's a good barometer.
Write that down.
Yeah, get ready, man. This is going to be a year for you in a 10 team league. Oh boy. You miss on like two picks and you're like out of the playoffs automatically.
Yeah, I did realize that my entire strategy does kind of hinge on, you know, I'm the last guy to draft in the first round, which means
you can't miss.
No, I cannot.
Those first two picks are more important than anyone else's first two picks. Like,
yeah,
the guy who picks first, his first pick is more important than anyone else's by a mile. But your first two are like, boy, if you miss on both of those, there's no coming back. If you hit on one, then you're okay. If you hit on both, you're set. But no, if you miss on both, I don't know, man. It's going to be a tough year for you.
Going to be a weird year, definitely.
So have fun.
This has been a weird podcast. This has been a good weird podcast. And all of you listeners, you are welcome. I imagine you are thanking us right now, listening to this, for putting out a great pod. And I want you to know that you are welcome. We do our best for you and for ourselves. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for highlight clips. Act Blue link in the description to help a collection of great progressive causes. Support us on Patreon, enjoying the likes of Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Send us your emails at voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. We're at V2_podcast on Twitter for updates there. Follow me at Lucas DeRuyter on Twitter, or follow me on Blue Sky, where I'm still Lucas DeRuyter. I have 4 invite codes currently available, and yeah, I'm giving them out. Reach out to me. I need more cool people on there. If I don't give it to you after you ask, it's nothing personal. It's just like, you don't got the right vibe for Blue Sky. I'm sorry. All right. Thank you all so much for listening, and have a great week.